The Barnstable and Yarmouth Libraries have created a program entitled Celebrating Diversity, African American STEM Leaders for February 15th through 19th, 2021 as part of school vacation programming. As a contribution from Yarmouth Port Library, I would like to do an audio recording of a variety of short biography sketches. The first sketches will be taken from the book Little Leaders, Bold Women in Black History, written by Vashti Harrison. The first biographical sketch, Rebecca Lee Crumpler, 1831 to 1895, physician. From the very beginning, caring for others was a part of Rebecca's life. She was raised in Pennsylvania by her aunt, who provided health care services to the people in her neighborhood. This passion for helping her community became her life's mission. She attended a private school in Massachusetts and went on to work as a nurse for 8 years. In 1860, she applied to an all-white medical school, the New England Female Medical College, a bold and risky move, but she was accepted. Rebecca graduated in 1864, becoming the first African-American woman physician in the country. Out of more than 50,000 physicians in the United States at the time, only about 300 were women, and Rebecca was the only Black woman. She began her practice in Boston, specializing in the care of women and children. But when the Civil War came to an end, she moved to Richmond, Virginia, to work with the Freedmen's Bureau. The fallen Confederate South was extremely hostile to the newly freed slaves, so Rebecca worked with the Bureau to provide health care to them. Rebecca had been born free in Delaware, the state with the highest number of free Blacks before the war. She was new to the adversity and racism of the South, but she endured it for the sake of helping the poor and needy. Throughout her career, Rebecca had a particular passion for helping women and children. In 1883, she published a two-part text titled A Book of Medical Discourses. The first part focuses on care for infants and the second part on women's health. It is possibly the first medical article published by a Black woman. Alice Ball, 1892 to 1916, chemist and medical researcher. Both Alice's mother and grandfather were photographers, and as a child, she developed an interest in the chemicals used in photography. She went to college in her hometown of Seattle and earned not one but two degrees in pharmaceutical chemistry and pharmacy. What an accomplishment for a young woman. At the time, most of the African-American population in the city was employed in service professions, cleaning homes or making food, for example. But Alice defied expectations and her circumstances by seeking an education and a career in science. In 1915, Alice became the first woman and the first African-American to graduate with a master's degree from the University of Hawaii. While working on her thesis, she developed what would become the leading treatment for leprosy, a serious incurable disease. She found a way for oil from the seed of the chalmugra tree to be absorbed in the bloodstream. This treatment became the primary method that would be used until the 1940s, but for a long time, no one knew Alice was the inventor. Less than 2 years after this discovery, Alice died, and the director of her program took credit for her findings. Alice's method became known as the Dean method. It wasn't until the 1970s that historians unearthed the truth and worked to ensure that Alice got credit for her important discovery. On February 29th, 2000, the University of Hawaii recognized her for her work and dedicated a plaque to her on the only chalmugra tree on the school's campus. That day, the Lieutenant Governor of Hawaii declared February 29th Alice Ball Day. Bessie Coleman, 1892 to 1926, pilot. Bessie grew up in a small segregated town in Texas. At home, with three younger siblings around, she had a lot of responsibilities: washing clothes by hand, fetching clean water, on top of walking 4 miles to school and back every day. Bessie knew that one day she would leave her small town. In 1915, she moved to Chicago to live with her older brothers. Returning from World War I, they told her all about being in France and about how the women there could fly planes, unlike the women in America. This got Bessie curious, furiously curious. She applied to every aviation school in America she could find, but was denied entry. No one at any of these schools thought a girl could fly, especially not a black girl. Bessie wanted to prove them wrong. In 1920, she moved to France, where she could finally learn aviation. She was so gifted, she graduated from the 10-month flight school in only 7 months. So in 1921, Bessie became the first African-American woman in the world to receive her pilot's license. She specialized in stunt flying, parachuting, and aerial tricks. After returning home to the United States, Bessie flew for huge crowds. She was very popular among both white and black Americans and stood up against segregation and discrimination whenever she could. She hoped to open up her own flight school to teach other girls of color how to fly. Unfortunately, during a test flight in 1926, a mechanical issue caused her plane to crash. Bessie passed away, but her legacy lives on. In 1977, the Bessie Coleman Aviators Club opened in Chicago to support women of all races to reach their dreams of flying. And our final biographical sketch is Katherine Johnson, 1918 to 2020, NASA mathematician. Judging by the way Katherine took to math, you would think it was her first language. As a child, she counted everything. She skipped 7 grades and graduated ahead of her older siblings. As a young woman, she became a math teacher, but her mentor at the University of West Virginia encouraged her to pursue a career as a research mathematician. In 1953, Katherine got her chance. NASA's Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia had recently opened a lab that hired African-American mathematicians. In a time before there were digital calculators, cell phones, or computer machines, the women and men who performed computations were called computers. Katherine's first assignment was to the Flight Research Division. The United States was in the middle of a space race, a period of time in the 1950s and 60s when America and Russia were competing for technological advancement in space flight. The top goal? To get a man on the moon. Katherine was one of the people who helped make it happen. Her job was to calculate the flight path for the first mission in space. Imagine, the Earth is rotating, the moon is revolving, and a rocket has to follow a very specific trajectory in order to reach its moving target. Even when mechanical computers were introduced, Katherine was still crucial. She continued computing at NASA until her retirement in 1986, and her work influenced every major space program up to that point. During the Friendship 7 mission in 1962, John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, refused to launch without verification that Katherine herself had double-checked the math. In 2015, President Barack Obama awarded Katherine the Presidential Medal of Freedom, America's highest civilian honor. So those are a few biographical sketches of African-American women involved in STEM careers from Little Leaders, Bold Women in Black History, written by Vashti Harrison.